Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff just happens to pop into our minds. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined by the expert, Austin.
That's me. I'm the expert.
You're the expert, Austin.
Do we need to restart the recording now?
No. I'm not letting you get away with that. Staying in. No, final cut.
No, whoops. I already stopped recording. Whoops.
Did you really?
No, I didn't.
Oh, good. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, y'all. If you know, you know.
We need to stop referencing things that no one understands because they're not
we need to stop
in the
referencing,
room with us. Okay.
Right? In jokes that happen in our personal lives.
You know, people do listen to us. I know sometimes it feels like no one does, but I swear to God, Alex.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm sorry. It's a long-running joke, and I just had to do it. We were...
Oh, my God. This is the worst introduction to an episode we've ever had.
No, it's the best introduction we've ever done.
Oh, you're the expert.
I am the expert on that, so thank you very much.
Anyway. How was your week? Did something get announced that you're excited for?
Oh my God, are we just jumping straight into that? Because
yeah, we got no time. This is an after work recording, so it's going to be fucking loopy. So get ready.
Yeah, disclaimer alert. Okay.
We've been doing a lot of these lately.
Well, life happens, okay? Sometimes you just can't record on a Sunday leisurely afternoon, so.
Life finds a way.
Thank you, Jeff Goldblum.
Okay. I do have a question for you before we start.
What?
Were you sexually attracted to Jeff Goldblum's open shirt scene in the 90s as a little kid?
Who was not attracted?
Okay. I think everyone. Yeah. That was like a moment.
That was a moment. And he was super fine.
And I swear to God, we all as children had that same moment and then just didn't mention it for 20 years. And then like suddenly we were all bringing it out into the open and it became a thing. And now there's a Funko Pop of it.
Wait, I'm sorry. There's a Funko Pop of the shirtless Jeff Goldblum character from Jurassic Park?
I mean, I'm surprised you haven't got me this yet.
I didn't know it was a thing.
The Funko Pop is not as good as the scene.
Of course not.
There you go.
Okay, let me see what Austin has put. Oh my God! Why is he in the Draw Me Like One of Your French Girls pose?
Well, what pose is he in the actual movie? Let's do a compare and contrast.
The conversation has taken the weirdest turn, y'all.
Yeah, he's in that pose in the movie.
Oh, he is in that pose. It makes perfect sense. Okay, I was wrong. I don't recall the context of this scene, but...
He was, like, attacked by a dinosaur. Therefore, he has to, like, take his clothes off for no reason.
I mean, I'm assuming blood-covered clothes are probably uncomfortable.
Yeah, but he's still wearing his leather jacket.
Can you just let it happen? Can you just let him be shirtless and bloody, please? Thank you.
No, he just wanted to be shirtless in a blockbuster movie. That's all it was, I'm sure. Anyway...
Look, if you're young and sexy and looked like that, I mean, do you blame people for showing it off?
I can't relate to being sexy, so I can't understand.
Well, neither can I, but that's what I'm saying, is if you are, then I guess jump at the chance, because it doesn't last.
He was 38 in Jurassic Park, by the way.
No way! I didn't know he was that old.
Whoa, old? But we're not that far away from that, Alex.
I know, and I feel old, so...
Guess how old Laura Dern was in Jurassic Park.
Is it younger or older?
Younger.
27.
23.
No way. 23?
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Now guess how old Sam Neill was in that same movie.
40.
He was 42.
But she was 23, like, for sure. Damn, people look different.
And they were like broken up. They were like former lovers in that movie.
Wow. I mean, I haven't seen a recent picture of Laura Dern. I'm sure she's aged wonderfully, but I did not know their ages in that movie.
All right, anyway, what are you excited for? Sorry, I went in the Jurassic Park direction.
We did. Okay, shifting gears totally. Something magical happened this past week, you guys. And literally, like, okay, we're recording this on Wednesday, the 23rd. this is how I wish they would do everything like this, because this wasn't an anticipated thing for months and months and months. Literally, I heard an internet rumor. People were posting about it. A lot of people were convinced that it was fake. To my surprise and to the surprise of literally everybody else on this planet, Bethesda goes and announces the reveal of the Elder Scrolls Oblivion remake / remaster, I guess you could call it. And they revealed it and dropped it on the same day.
Very Beyonce.
And I was floored, stunned, blown away, excited, nostalgic. I cried a little bit. It was so intense, you guys.
Sorry to get Owen Wilson on you. Wow.
Wow. Call me a nerd. I don't fucking care. I embrace the nerddom. I mean, look, we're doing a Pokemon podcast.
I'm very happy for you.
It came out in 2006. And honestly, this predates Dragon Age for me. Because Dragon Age Origins came out in 2009. Oblivion and Elder Scrolls was really like my first real foray into like the RPG, fantasy RPG genre. It defined something for me. I know you don't know anything about Oblivion or Skyrim. But you were with me, Austin. You know, you were with me on the midnight release of Skyrim in 2011.
Yeah, when everyone thought we were there for me, but we were actually there for you. Yeah. That was awesome. We were like, fuck y'all. Gender norms.
Something to be said about that. Yeah, gender norms, right? The guys there were trying to like converse with you and be like, oh, so what do you like about Skyrim and stuff? And
they were people I knew.
You were like, I don't know.
That's I don't even know why I'm here.
I'm just here to support my friend, solidarity. God, I don't know, you guys. This is just really shocked, welcomed. I'm really floored. I was not expecting this out of nowhere. And it just brought up a lot of memories. Like, it brought up a lot of good memories. I love Oblivion. If you know anything about Oblivion, you know about the memes. It's absurd. It's one of the best games ever. I was watching videos of it today. I haven't bought it yet.
Is it full price?
I think currently, and I could be wrong, and I apologize if I'm wrong, I think it's $59.99, but there's also like a digital upgrade, which includes some things like the art book and soundtrack and stuff like that. I do know that it includes the full gamut of DLC, and Shivering Isles, one of the DLC, is like another game, pretty much. So I think it's a pretty generous price, honestly, for what you get.
So it is $60.
I think so. And I could be wrong. Hold on. You know what? I'm going to look it up right now.
We don't want to spread misinformation.
I don't want to spread misinformation. That is not what I am. Why can't I just get a straight answer, man? I just Googled this.
Did AI tell you the wrong thing?
Okay, so apparently it's $49.99 on Steam, which is the PC version.
That's where I saw it. Okay.
And then let's see what it is for Xbox. It is, I don't want to sign into you, Microsoft. Oh my God, why can't I just get a straight answer? I think it's $59.99 for the deluxe edition.
For Xbox.
But then you can also get it on Game Pass, which is like the subscription.
Oh, that shit confuses me.
I know. So here's my thought. I thought I would actually bite the bullet and get Game Pass for like a month to play it for like $1 or $10 or whatever it is. I think it's $1 for 14 days. Anyway, play it on that. And then inevitably, well, fingers crossed, because I don't know. And there's been no word about this. I'm not familiar with Shadow Drops, but hopefully they do have a physical release somewhere down the line. So I'm hoping I can play it digitally on Game Pass and then I can eventually buy the disc version.
I feel like that's inevitable. I feel like that has to happen, right?
I hope so. I don't know. The trend in the gaming industry these days, Austin, is, you know, as well as I do, everything's trending towards digital, so.
You don't own video games anymore.
I have to have a physical copy in my hand.
Well, even the physical copies aren't the actual game.
Not anymore. You're right about
that. Not on a long enough timeline. It's not.
Not since games aren't read off of the disc anymore.
Right.
I mean, basically, discs act as keys.
Until 30 years from now, when you can no longer download that information from a disc.
Is it going to be uploaded straight into our heads?
No, it's going to be not available. It's going to be, you gotta buy the PlayStation 17 to get the new remastered version.
Well, I just like to have a physical edition anyway, if only for the box and the
novelty.
Physical presence of it, and the novelty. So we'll see what happens. If it doesn't come out physically, if they deny that, then I'll just buy it the way I can buy it. But I'm super excited. I'm literally, like, about to cry again, tears of joy. But
oh boy, should I cut you off or let you go?
No, that's all I wanted to say, because I'll literally ramble forever. I do have one other thing, and I have to just throw myself under the bus real quick. I'm admitting it. I am such a nerd. I had character sheets from, like, 12 years ago that I had for when I originally played, like, Skyrim and stuff. And Austin was like, you're such a fucking nerd. And I'm like, I've been going back through and rebuilding my old character, and it's so magical.
Is this a physical sheet of paper?
No, it's an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay, it's an Excel spreadsheet that you saved to your hard drive.
Yes. Am I the only person? I feel like I'm not the only person. I literally have character sheets with, like, age, background, all this stuff, skills. I have a whole fucking, like, chart.
Okay, Alex, you need to get into a Dungeons & Dragons group.
Oh my god, I've always wanted to!
Why don't we ask Christina? She can help us.
Okay.
I don't want to do that, but I'll do it in support of you.
God, I've always wanted to join, like, a super chill, like, D&D group and just have a character, but this is me in my spare time, you guys. I have character sheets, okay? Don't judge me. I guess if you're like me and you have a character that you've literally created back in 2006 and you're reliving that like 20 years later, it's something else. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's just special. Yes, Austin.
So I have some questions, and these are not judgmental questions. These are
sure.
Factual seeking questions.
I'm admitting it. I don't care. I'm embracing it.
So this game is basically a rebuilt version of an old game from 2006, correct?
Yes.
Now, why do you want to replay this old game you've already played?
I have played it, and you'll be shocked. And I know, Austin. I finished it. This is back in the day when I finished games. Yes.
So is this the same thing as, let's do a Pokemon example.
Oh, God.
Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl comes out, and I want to play that, even though I've already played Diamond and Pearl. And so it's that kind of logic? Is that the...
I mean, you play Pokemon remakes. Yeah.
I know, I'm saying, is that the same logic? Like, you're not expecting anything new, but you're just enjoying the revisit.
It's essentially the same game. They didn't add totally new things by any means. It's not, like, completely different and all these new quests and everything. I think they do have some new dialogue and certain things, quality of life-wise. But, yes, essentially, it's my impression that it's the same game, just modernized and looks a lot better. I mean, yeah, I guess there's really not much more to it than that, but it's essentially playing a Pokemon remake.
Now, you plan on reusing characters you already used in your original playthroughs?
Okay, so here's how this has evolved, and I'll just be succinct. So when I played Skyrim, my playstyle was a little different because I made four characters. I had a character really for each kind of major faction. So I had like a mage character, I had like a sneak kind of thief-oriented character, and then I had a warrior. When I played Oblivion, I didn't know any better. So this was when I was young, of course. I was, what?
Young and naive.
I was a younger teenager. I just had one character. One character who basically was a jack of all trades. She did everything. Wasn't specialized. She literally learned every skill and all this stuff. So I was thinking of what to do. Should I make multiple characters in the same way that I did for Skyrim? Or should I just go back to my OG and replay it like in that sort of tribute to her? And I decided that I was just going to do that. I was just going to make my one character that I had and relive that.
Okay.
I'm so excited.
Is there anything else you would like to say about it before we move on?
I want to say that I can't believe this is like really happening. Sometimes I'm like pinching myself to be like, is this really real? Oh my gosh. But it makes me excited for Elder Scrolls 6.
Which this has to be a tech demo for that, right?
I'm assuming that this probably is something we can expect in a similar, like, I feel like we're probably going to see Elder Scrolls 6 looking similar to this. Like, I'm assuming. I really don't think, like, technology as far as, like, graphics can really get any better. I feel like we've kind of peaked in terms of that, but, like...
Oh, I disagree wholeheartedly.
Really?
Oh, okay, but go on.
Oh, okay, that's a topic for another day. Anyway, I don't know when to expect that game at all. Honestly, I'm very content with just playing Oblivion. And honestly, Skyrim even holds up to this day. Skyrim's always fun to go back and play even now. So I'm thrilled, beyond thrilled. I'm so excited to jump in and play this. I think I'm going to bite the bullet and just get Game Pass, like I said, to play. And so hopefully the next time we record, I will be able to report back and let you know how that's going. Oh my god, I'm so excited. Okay, please move on because I'll talk about this all day.
Okay, I do have one more question though. You said for Xbox it's 60 for the deluxe and 50 for the basic?
I think so. Again, I couldn't get like a 100% straight answer, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
Okay, could you check for PlayStation?
PlayStation.
Yeah.
I think it's PS5 only. So.
Oh, okay.
Let's find out.
I mean, that makes sense. It's PlayStation 5 only.
It says $49.99.
For the basic?
Yeah.
And how much for the deluxe?
$59.99.
Okay, so it's across the board. Okay, got it. Yeah. Just asking because look at what I have in my hands right now.
Oh my god, what the fuck? No! Austin, what? Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you.
What? That was the surprise!
That was the surprise. Guess what I did this week?
Y'all, what? This is brand new information.
I've been hiding it from you for like 10 days.
I hate you. What? I hate you that you hid that from me. Oh my god.
I wanted to get your reaction on the podcast.
Oh my god. I'm shocked. Austin bought a PS5. Yay. I'm so happy for
Look
you.
Look at how excited she is.
Oh my god. I'm thrilled. I'm fucking thrilled. Ah.
I was literally having like some crazy moment. It was like the middle of the week and I was just like, God, the tariffs, the inflation. The economy is going to crash so bad. I need to save every single cent I possibly have right now. And I sat and I was like, no. Because they announced price increases for the PlayStation 5 in like various other English-speaking countries. And I was like, they're going to do that here too. Oh, no. And so I was like, fuck everything. Oh, my God. So I literally drove to the mall and bought a used PlayStation 5 in a state of sheer panic, which is a state of mind I always make all my big financial decisions in.
Who doesn't?
I have to drive myself into insanity and then do something.
So this is why you texted me? You were at the mall?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I just get some random text from Austin in like the middle of the week and he's like, I'm at the mall and some teenagers are laughing at me. And literally that was the extent of it. And I'm like, I'm sure they're not laughing at you.
Oh my God. I'm 9% sure they were laughing at me.
9% sure?
Yeah, 9%.
Okay. I don't know why I'm so excited. I guess I'm just like, I know Austin and I have talked about this for years. Like, you know, just like, oh, when are you going to get a PlayStation 5? Oh, whenever. Oh, I don't really feel the need to. I have a PlayStation 4, whatever.
No, I always wanted a PlayStation 5. I just couldn't afford it and I still can't. But I was in a state of pure adrenaline.
You know what? Honestly, sometimes you need that adrenaline to spur you into making decisions you wouldn't normally make.
Irresponsible decisions, yes.
Sure. We're adults.
So that's why you haven't heard from me in the last week.
No fucking wonder. God, see, this is what happens when I leave Austin alone.
You really cannot leave me alone for 5 minutes.
Damn, I should have checked in. I knew something was going on. I felt it. I felt a disturbance in the Force. I was like,
no, I didn't buy the Star Wars game yet. You didn't feel a disturbance in the Force.
Okay, so you bought a PlayStation 5. Again, my jaw's on the floor. Let me pick it up. Okay, what games did you buy?
Just one.
Okay, what's your, like, launch title, so to speak?
Guess.
The Spider-Man game.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course it was.
I didn't even need to think about it.
And just like the previous two Spider-Man games, I've been, like, in Spider-Man mode.
So you've been playing it.
I cannot stop playing.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to come over and see. I'm really curious.
Come over right after we record. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'll come over. Can I come over, like, Friday?
Sure.
Okay. I have an Xbox, so I'm curious to see what the PlayStation's like.
I don't know. By Friday, I might have 100%ed it.
Are you serious? You played that much?
Probably not, because I need to edit the podcast before Saturday, so I probably won't have time.
This week is popping off, guys. I don't even know what's going on. What's next? Oh my goodness.
I considered buying Oblivion and just playing it in front of you when you came over and be like, hey, Alex.
I would have. You should. Oh my god. Why wouldn't you have done that? You should have fucking bought it.
I already spent all that money. I don't want to spend $50 more just for a joke.
God. But in for a penny, in for a pound. Come on, just do it.
I mean, it would have been funny, but I would have had to get your, like, reaction on camera to justify it. And I would need to sell someone else here to, like, be the camera person. It just wasn't worth it.
Oh, man. Could you have imagined? If I had walked in completely unaware and fucking Oblivion was on and you were standing there in, like, the character creator or something.
Like, oh, hey.
Like, oh, hey. I'd be like, what the fuck is happening? Would you even like Oblivion? I'm sure you would. I think you should play it.
No. Because of the time I asked you, hey, Alex, should I get Skyrim? It's only like $10 or something absurd. And you were like, no, you wouldn't like it. And I was like, okay, I'll take your word for it. And basically you continued and you were like, because you're really bad at video games. And also like you only play Mario and also like you're a child. And I was like, okay, thank you. And you were like, and also you're really bad at everything that involves like complexity or intelligence. And
I was like, okay, thank you, Alex. Oh my God. Okay. I'm going to defend myself. Austin tried to play Red Dead Redemption 2 once upon a time.
I hated those horse controls.
And he didn't like it, and so I was like, okay, if you don't like a game like that, I'm not so certain you might enjoy Skyrim, because you don't like RPGs.
I don't like medieval fantasy settings the majority of the time. Very rarely do I like it.
So I thought, absolutely, knowing those two things about you, that you would not care for it.
I thought Game of Thrones was bad before everyone else thought Game of Thrones was bad. I'm just saying.
I'm not certain you would like Oblivion, considering that it's proto-Skyrim. I mean, give it a chance if you want. You could play it. I don't know if they have it on PlayStation Store or if you can rent it or something.
Anyway.
That's a pass. Okay.
I've not gotten Star Wars Jedi Survivor yet, even though I looked it up and apparently they just ported it to PS4. And I didn't find that out until after I bought the PlayStation 5. And I was like, well, why did I even buy the fucking PlayStation 5? Whatever.
Now you have one.
Okay. I can play Spider-Man 2.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy for you. This is very exciting. I can't wait to come over and see it. I know everybody out there listening is like, yawn, the PlayStation 5 is years old at this point, but this is new and exciting for us.
So. All right, we gotta move forward. We've been talking for a long time. Okay.
I know. Thanks for bearing with us. I'm vibrating with excitement over it, and I just had to get that off my chest. So we will report back on our gaming adventures. Okay, Austin, aside from that, anything else, or do you want to jump in?
Jump into the contest.
Okay, this week we have all things bright and beautiful. Things are seeming very bright and beautiful this week. And we have, what's the other one? Oh, Blue Badge of Courage.
Which is a Chronicles episode.
Chronicles.
And I sent you the wrong episode titles earlier because I myself am starting to get confused at this point.
Thank God I watched the right thing. I don't know. I'm kind of feeling, I liked the Beautiful episode. I think we'll have a lot to say about that. I can't say the same about the Chronicles episode, unfortunately.
But let's flip a coin to see who has what to say about what.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm doing 30 seconds for the contest episode.
Oh, goody. I wanted to do this one.
Also, that's probably for the best because I have like 3 pages of notes on the contest episode.
Okay.
Wow, okay, so it's actually almost 2. Almost 2 pages.
What on earth did you write about? I guess we'll find out. Okay, Austin, are you ready to summarize? In 3, 2, 1, go.
We meet Janet and Chaz, some very generic looking people, and they are contest coordinators, and we learn what a Pokemon contest is, and the anime is forever changed for the next 10 years or so. And May and Max stomp all over these random people's day, and they're like, we're gonna make it all about us. And May has a transformative moment, and she learns that she wants to be a contest coordinator, but doesn't say it exactly. And Ash begins to teach Pikachu Iron Tail, and Chaz has a Venomoth.
Time.
I don't know.
Very pertinent to add at the end, yes, he has a Venomoth. Just right off the bat, I want to say, I think this is one of the episodes that is like a definitive episode.
This is a game changer.
This is a game changer. And honestly, I was kind of shocked about how much they just dump on us right in this episode.
Oh, this is an exposition episode. The Loadhead episode was exposition about berries, but that's nowhere near as important as this shit.
This is one of those, like, I'm just thinking about what we learned and how much it defines, like you mentioned, the next 10 years plus of the Pokemon anime. Like, there are a lot of things that happen. I was like, I can't believe this is the origin story of this. Like, I liked it. And yeah. I love contests. And I think knowing what we know going into, like, Diamond and Pearl, I'm like, yes, contest. Thank God for saving us from the monotony of battles.
Should we talk about the overarching view of contest now or save it for later?
Do you want to give like a summary after the fact? Let's talk about this episode.
The episode first. Okay, great.
And then we can give our thoughts about contest in general. So
okay.
We are confused right off the bat because I was confused. I'm sure you're confused. I'm sure Austin's confused. I thought we were in fucking Rustboro City.
That would make sense.
Well, you'd be surprised, Austin, that we are, yes, but not in Rustboro City. Yes and no. We are on the outskirts, the very distant outskirts of Rustboro. This place we're in front of is called Rustboro Hall.
Located conveniently 30 miles away from Rustboro City, of course.
Somehow. Ash is like in our boat, right? He's like, oh my God, we're finally here. This is so great. We're out of the woods. We're done dealing with like the Lotad people and the Shroomish guy and all this bullshit. Finally, we can go to the gym and get our first badge. Well, nope. We're still a day's walk away.
It didn't look like a day's walk.
It did not.
That looked like a 2-hour walk downhill.
I know. They do an aerial shot of like the twerps and then they like pan wide out to see like over the hill where the actual Rustboro City is. I was like, you couldn't walk there in like a couple hours.
I mean, they could. You and I probably would not be able to, but they could.
I mean, they're intrepid explorers and backpackers and they're always walking. Even though, like, I don't know, I guess I'm just thinking maybe Max already had, like, the premonition of, like, oh, we're gonna find some people to have to, like, spend a whole day on.
He probably knew. On the PokéNav, it says, like, 22-minute episode located here. It's like you're following the checkpoints on a video game map.
Exactly. And honestly, this is a very, like, NPC quest progression episode, and you'll see that. But I'm pretty sure Max knows the deal by now. He's like, okay, every day we have to meet a person and spend a day solving their problems. So,
of course. Or in this case, be the problem.
They are the problem in this episode.
There were no problems to be solved in this episode.
Meddling kids. But yeah, he knew we were going to be here because we had to have some shit we had to get into. We're going to sidebar real quick to this Rustboro Hall. And this is the home of, or at least one of them, of the Pokemon contest. Very exciting. That's a new thing. May is not really quite sure what a Pokemon contest is. Neither is anybody else, apparently.
May had a basic idea of you get a ribbon.
Okay, I will say the ribbons look kind of cool. I like the ribbons. Maybe they're not as like extravagant as the badges, but they're different. Would you rather have a badge or a ribbon?
A frontier symbol.
Okay. I think ribbons are pretty, but I guess that's just my inner, like, girly girl being like, I like the ribbons, they're so pretty. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so we see some trainers milling around, and they have some Pokemon that they're kind of working on moves with, and it's not so much, like, attacking and the physical brute force of a move. They're more stylish and refined. So Ash is very intrigued by this. He's like, what's going on here? What are you people doing? You're not battling? Oh my gosh. So as they're admiring what's happening around them, a Beautifly that we've seen before flies up and smacks May right in the face.
Destiny is smacking May in the face.
Right in the face. And I don't know about you, but if a giant, bigger than your head sized butterfly came up and hit you in the face, I think I might have a panic attack.
Shades of the Wormy episode of SpongeBob.
It's a man-eating monster. How do you feel about Beautifly? What do you think of it?
It's not my favorite Pokemon ever. It's a much better Butterfly Pokemon than Butterfree. I'll say that much.
What is this opinion I've never heard? You think it's better than Butterfree?
Look at the two of them side by side. One of them is the cartoony, simple shapes with like, you know, circles and little triangles. And one of them is a fully designed creature.
Okay.
With a proboscis and everything.
Yeah, I guess Butterfree doesn't have a proboscis. It has a...
Little fangs.
Okay, you know what? I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna get into the whole Venonat, Caterpie swap thing.
Are you not?
Thing.
Because Venomoth is in this episode.
I won't do it. I will spare everyone. Because, as I'm sure we all know, the infamous, did Butterfree get swapped with Venonat? Did Venomoth get swapped for... We're not gonna go into
it. I think I got swapped on purpose. That's my thing.
Oh, so you think it was by design?
I think it was by design. Because we know they do that. We know they swap around what evolves into what.
That is true. it could have been a coding error and they just went with it all these
years. I don't
think
later. It was a coding error. I think it was an intentional swap. Sure. I don't know. Okay. Anyway.
Look at the little hands, look at the mouth, tell me I'm wrong. I'm not wrong. Anyway, not gonna talk about it. Moving on.
Okay.
So this Beautifly is the Pokemon who belongs to a girl named Janet.
Damn it, Janet.
Janet. Control your Beautifly.
I love you. Damn it, I'm thinking.
Again, we can't help it. There's something about this podcast.
Ugh. Okay, so Janet's here with her boyfriend, Brad.
I'm really fucking mad he's not called Brad. Why is he called...
He should have been fucking Brad.
I'm so upset. It was a perfect opportunity, but no, he's Chaz. Ugh.
Oh, I hated him immediately because his name was Chaz.
Can we call him Brad? Can we just call him Brad, please?
No. We can't. We can't misname him.
Fine.
We never misname anyone ever on this podcast.
Never. Okay.
Doc Brown, Timothy the Grobat, Daniel Grillman, whatever it was.
Daniel Grillman.
I can't remember.
Daniel Foreman.
Daniel Foreman.
Mr. Douglas.
No, that was his actual name.
Was his really? Oh my God, he was actually named that. Okay, never mind. That wasn't our genius.
Countless examples I can't think of right now.
Timothy the. Did you say that? Did you say Timothy?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, I'm not even listening. Okay, I'm sorry. So Chaz and Janet are here. Oh, wow, this is thrilling. They run up and apologize about their Pokemon's horrendous behavior. Meanwhile, the Beautifly is perched on May's head. They start immediately, automatically launching into what a contest is. So right off the bat, we get the explanation. This is like when you walk up and somebody just starts giving their life story and you didn't even ask. It's like, did I just walk into this? Or, like, why are you telling me this?
Why do people do that? I'll never understand. You cannot...
Are you talking about real-life people?
Yeah, I'm talking about real-life people. If I meet a stranger, you know what I'm not going to do? Launch into just about anything. You got to get a crowbar and wrench some words out of me. I just can't relate to this.
So, I think, not to get too serious, but just a little serious, I think there's a loneliness epidemic in this country and everywhere else, and I think
people Janet and
lonely.
Chaz are loneliness epidemic people.
Well, I mean, if they're the only people they're exposed to, maybe they just want some excitement and they want to share their story with people. I don't know. I think that's why people do it in real life. They just have no one to talk to, so I think it's pretty sad. But
very old lady at the grocery store.
Very. They explain what this whole thing is about, and they're coordinators. They're not necessarily... They are trainers, but not in the same way that Ash is a trainer. They basically train Pokemon to be graceful. May, immediately, you can tell, is enthralled by this. There's a lot of close-ups on May's face, and you know that this is something that's going to go somewhere for her. So the twerps all decide that this is really cool, and they want to enter this contest, despite having no background in this at all, which... I kind of wondered how that worked, considering that contests have tiers.
Not in the anime.
Apparently not in the anime. Any and all levels.
They will later in Journeys, but not now.
Okay, so it's a free-for-all, basically. You have somebody... So you can have somebody with, like, 10 years of experience doing contesting, and then you have somebody with, like, no experience, and this is their first foray, and they're on the same stage?
As far as we've been able to tell, yeah.
All right.
In fact, totally. I remember that being a plot point. Where Dawn's mother's rival and Dawn were in the same contest. Remember that?
That's horrendously unfair.
That's the Pokemon world. They don't care about fairness.
They don't. Okay. It's a free-for-all. So they're like, okay, well, that's cool. Let's all go and do that. And so Janet and Chaz are like, well, you might be too late, but, like, let's find out. Because the contest is basically closing.
Yeah, who do you children think you are wandering around the world and being able to take part in anything you come across at all times?
Honestly, I kind of love how they did this. Like, to your point, they weren't on time. They actually, and we'll see this in just a moment, but they don't get their way.
The one time we're not right on time for the annual festival.
Consequences, okay? You can't always be a part of everything, just like you said.
If Max didn't stop for that Poochyena...
I do blame him, actually. That poor Mightyena now is going to have to live like that for the rest of its life, and Max never sees it again, so thanks for ruining its life. Okay. Regardless of that, so while the twerps are a little bit too late, fortunately for our other beloved characters, Team Rocket, they are not too late. They are like one of the final entrants allowed in the contest, and we see that Jessie already has a contest pass.
What?
What? I think we need to talk a little bit about this. How does she already have a contest pass?
I think this ties in to her entrance to Hoenn, where she said, "Oh, Little Root Town. It takes me back to my younger days in Hoenn."
Oh, right.
It's like, what are you talking about, Jesse? I think that's what this is.
She has a past here, somehow.
If this ever gets followed up on any further, I don't remember it.
I don't necessarily think that they do, but I'm glad for the little bit of, like, mystery to that. Mm. She's obviously been here and obviously has partaken in this to some extent, because she's registered. I guess it has been a while, however, because it has expired. So the rude clerk lady behind the counter is like, "Well, you're shit out of luck, but I could potentially renew your contest pass." And I'm like, why didn't you just say that from the beginning?
I am so glad you clocked that, because I wrote down, like, this lady is bad at her job. Like, she needs to take active language. She needs to say, "Yeah, I can renew your pass." She says, "Well, I might be able to. I don't know. Let me look and check. I don't know." Which is a flaw as an employee.
I think this is okay. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to call it out. And I know this is such a cliche when it comes to, like, government workers. But do you think this is kind of like an intentional jab at, like, the bureaucratic process of going to, like, the DMV or something and be like, "I need to get my stuff renewed," and they're not helpful?
I think it's because we're at Team Rocket POV at the moment. Therefore, the people they come across are kind of, like, rude and disinterested. Whereas when you were in Twerp POV, the people, like, run up to you and, like, give you all this exposition and, like, let you hang out with them for the day.
That's such a good point. The Team Rocket POV is, like, the real life POV, where people could not give less of a shit. And they don't,
correct,
they don't volunteer information, and they're not, they don't go out of their way. That's kind of hilarious, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But fortunately for Jessie, she does get her pass renewed, so she's able to partake in the contest. Glad for her. I guess we'll see what she's made of, because apparently, like we said, she's got some experience in this, so certainly she's got to know what's going on, right? Right. Oof.
Get ready for a long journey with Jessie.
Get ready, y'all. Okay. In the meantime, though, like we mentioned, May, Brock, and Ash are too late to enter the contest. So they get issued passes, but they're not valid for this particular contest, so they'll have to wait. But they can get in to watch. So they are going to be there as spectators and guests of Janet and Chaz. Oh, wow. At this point in time, not only do we get introduced to the contest mechanic, but we also get introduced to the Pokeblock mechanic. Hooray, the Pokeblocks. If you don't know what the Pokeblocks are, I guess it's the equivalent of everything else we've had, like the Poffins and the...
Those are the original Poffins.
What other shit have we had?
The apricorn juice in HeartGold SoulSilver.
Oh, right, the berries, the, yeah. I guess the curry in the more recent games. There's always some kind of feeding your Pokemon mechanic ever since this, but...
Ever since this!
So if I remember from the games, it's... It improves the Pokemon's... Am I doing this right? Is it condition?
Is it called condition? It's like their beauty, toughness, coolness. Sure. What are the other two? Smartness?
Oh, God. I should know this.
Beauty. Beautifly.
Beauty. Okay, you know what? Fuck it. I'm looking up. I'm so sorry.
I'm pretty sure I got them all.
I just want to make sure it's called condition. I'm pretty sure.
Contest condition.
Yay, there are five. Okay, you were right. Did you say cool, coolness, beautiful,
yes,
cuteness, cleverness, and toughness?
I guess cleverness is what I called smartness, because I'm very smartness.
Okay, so that's what it is. This is what those Pokeblocks are. You basically turn berries into little sugar cubes, and you feed them to the Pokemon to improve certain aspects of their presentation. So obviously this is a beauty contest, because Beautifly is very beautiful.
Is it a beauty contest? Because those distinctions don't seem to exist in the anime either.
Oh, damn. Do they not?
Not in this series.
I guess I was just applying what I could from the games. I was like, well, Beautifly is pretty. And
you're applying a lot of logic that's not here. It's a free-for-all for everyone.
Forget what I said. There's no rhyme or reason. It's people do whatever they want.
Every contest is an every contest.
What kind of complicated, insane racket are Contesta, Tsukizo, and Joy running?
Ooh, we'll get to them in a minute. All right.
We are going to get to them in a minute. Okay, so before we get to them, and they are very iconic also, they talk about some gym battles, and this is the part where another iconic thing, God, one iconic thing after another, y'all. Chaz and Janet explain that the gym that they are going to in Rustboro is a rock type gym, and that Ash is going to have a hell of a time going up against that gym with Pikachu. And Ash is like, oh, Pikachu's the best I have. And I'm like, my guy, did you forget about Treecko?
You know what he really forgot about?
What?
And I think you did too.
What?
Rock and Electric have no relationship to each other whatsoever.
Oh, oh my god,
but
I'm sorry.
The anime stubbornly insists that they do, because the anime thinks that rock type is ground type, but they're different things.
I think I might have also had a moment just like that, you guys. I'm sorry.
Because of this show, I have to constantly remind myself, no, Rock and Electric are unrelated. If anyone should have stepped up, it should have been Brock saying, like, Chaz, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. Pikachu will be fine.
No, Brock reiterates what he says. He's like, oh, yeah, ugh. Ash, you're going to have trouble. I'm like,
Brock has rocks for brains.
I'm like, do we not even get, like, a mention back to, like, his battle with Ash? He's a rock-type ex-gym leader. I mean, Brock isn't even really a rock-type trainer anymore, honestly.
That's Forrest's job now.
I have to admit it, you guys. I guess I, too, suffer the curse of the anime, and I always think that there's some kind of relationship, type-wise, with Rock and Electric, and it's just false.
There's not.
Anyway, that's not the point, Austin. The point is, we need an excuse to learn the iconic new move. Drumroll, please. Iron Tail!
Oh, does Pikachu learn Iron Tail? I forgot that little tidbit. Oh.
Did you?
What a very iconic aspect of Pikachu.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Sorry, that sarcasm didn't land. Yeah, just big moment.
I can't believe this is the episode. I was almost shocked.
Ooh, big episode.
There's so much happening, you guys. Oh, I feel kind of clinical, honestly, like going down the list. I'm like, okay, contest, check. Okay, May and contest, check. Okay, Ash and Iron Tail, check. Pokeblocks, check. Like, what else? Jesse, contest, check.
Thank God Pikachu's going to be learning Iron Tail, because...
Okay, at this point, what does he know? Tackle?
He knows Quick Attack, Thunder...
Thunderbolt.
Is that it? Agility.
Wait, he knows... Okay, so he doesn't know Tackle. I'm wrong. Okay.
No, he knows Agility.
I think I always conflate Quick Attack with Tackle, because that's basically, like, what it is.
Quick Attack has white lines that appear on him.
Sorry.
As he runs.
You are so right about that. I am a horrible person, and I need to just go. Goodbye. Okay, so finally, I guess we can get rid of... What is he gonna unlearn?
Agility? I think agility. Yeah.
Thank God.
That needed to go.
Yes, it did. So we are doing some strength training where Pikachu has a cute little weight of rocks like tied around his tail, and he's doing some curls with the tail. Very cute. And Ash is down there in the dirt with him doing push-ups, so...
Disgusting.
Great. You don't like push-ups?
I don't like doing push-ups on the grass and the dirt. That's disgusting to me. I don't know. I'm weird.
I wouldn't go outside and start doing push-ups on the ground, but... Pokemon is a utopia. There's no, like, pollution and... Well, there is pollution. I'm wrong. Not in this place, though. There's nice, clean grass all around.
This is Ash very much doing his thing where he physically gets involved. And we know that's his trademark. When it comes to training.
Are you sure? Because we can't say the same thing that for Treecko, where he just stood there and watched Treecko do the twisty move.
Treecko was doing that on his own initiative, and Ash was not involved in that one. But in this instance, where Ash was involved with Iron Tail, that was his strategy.
All right, fine. Defend Ash. Whatever.
I always will. Well, sometimes.
I'll allow it this once.
I sometimes will.
Meanwhile... Jessie is also doing a little bit of training and studying. She is looking through a book on Pokemon moves, I suppose. I'm not really sure what she's doing. But her whole idea is that she wants to be good at contests so that she can gain a fan club to subsequently then recruit from that fan club more members of Team Rocket into their new Hoenn branch. That's their big plan.
Jessie found a Ruby and Sapphire strategy guide that had all the contest moves listed. And she's like, okay, these look good.
Yay. Oh my God. I still have my Prima game guide, Ruby and Sapphire guide. I love it so much. Oh, those were the days.
I was the Nintendo Power boy.
You what?
I was a Nintendo Power player's guide guy.
Oh, right. Nintendo Power. Did you ever call into the helpline?
Did they still have that? When we were
not
young?
Not now, I don't think.
I thought they had that in, like, the 80s. I didn't realize they had that in, like, the 90s.
Oh, I don't know how long it went, but I do know people used to, like, call in and be like, I don't know how to get through the water temple.
Oh, my God. I gotta look it up. Let's watch The Wizard, by the way. I gotta look it up.
Oh, I love The Wizard. Oh, my God. We watched that once upon a time.
Oh my god, that Nintendo Power hotline ended in 2005.
That went way longer than I thought.
No way. Who would have thought?
So you did not call into the hotline?
No, I spent money for their really expensive strategy guides.
See, you wonder why I was so nostalgic for, like, Oblivion. That was 2006, so that was around the same time frame. Something magical about that time. Anyway, she's consulting her game guide in Nintendo Power. Hopefully that pays off for her. Meanwhile, we are introduced to the three main judges for the Pokemon contest. These iconic three, this trio, oh my goodness.
And our very iconic announcer, can't forget him.
Does he have a name?
Announcer.
Our main three are Mr. Tsukizo, Mr. Contesta, and Nurse Joy.
I had so many notes.
Please talk about that.
I listed the differences.
Are we going to compare and contrast?
Yes, okay. We are. First of all, this announcer guy can go fuck off. He has, like, all of the charisma of a wet noodle. Like, I'm glad they got rid of him, because he sucked ass. Like, Viridian Meridian must have been sick this day or something.
Viridian Meridian?
You don't remember Viridian Meridian?
Oh my god, I think I do remember her.
Oh, wait, you're going to remember her when you see her.
Oh my gosh. Okay, y'all, I don't think we're quite ready for what all contests entail. I think we just need to buckle in, because
the contests in this episode aren't quite what they're going to be.
No, I'm talking about in the future. I'm not talking about this, but we have to start somewhere.
So, okay, first of all, our announcer, first of all, he's very rude, because he calls Mr. Tsukizo and Mr. Contesta just Tsukizo and Contesta without the misters.
Excuse me, they are Mr.
And what else? Oh, Mr. Tsukizo, we say he's from the Pokemon Enthusiast Club.
Enthusiast Club?
He should be from the Pokemon Fan Club, also known as the Pokemon Lovers Club.
Oh my god!
Up Shout out to the Pokemon time.
Lovers Club. Oh Fame. God. Guys, if you haven't listened to our Pokemon Lovers Club episode way back in the early days, please do that. I think that's one of our favorite episodes.
That was the episode where Out of the Drying Pan actually clicked into place. That's when we finally got our groove.
That's when our training wheels came off.
Of course, our audio sucked ass, but that's still true.
That is still true.
Hello, Mr. Contesta and Mr. Tsukizo. I don't think they had any lines.
They didn't. I don't think.
Disappointing.
If they did, it was barely anything.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll learn about their remarkable personalities at a later time.
Oh my god. Remarkable. Okay. So we do some contest stuff. I think, what's his face, Chaz, scores like a 29.5.
No, he scores a perfect 30.
Was that him or was that Janet?
That was both of them.
Oh, they both scored a perfect 30?
They both got 30s.
Okay, I'm sorry. In my notes, I just put Janet scored a perfect 30. I left Chaz out because he's forgettable.
I mean, Chaz's was decent, I thought. From what little we saw of it, was his Venomoth did like a psychic tea time?
Oh my god, was that that? I honestly pulled an Ash and wasn't even like paying attention.
There we go. We watched this episode 1 hour ago.
No, that was a thing in the anime where Ash like completely misses his set. And so, yeah,
because he was outside doing push-ups in the grass.
Who can be bothered, honestly? Fucking tea time with Chaz, okay.
Well, tea time with Chaz got a perfect score.
Wow.
Like, that would not get a perfect score in later seasons. No, it would not.
Okay, honestly, is this like early days of contest in this place? Because I feel like they're pretty blown away by basic stuff, but then later on, it seems like the contests themselves evolve.
No, the contests have like a very big curve of how big they go.
So
very
is this
quickly.
Just like a failure of the Rustboro Hall? Like, is just this some like random backwater place that doesn't really have any rules?
I mean, Rustboro City has Devon Corporation.
Oh, God.
It's a pretty big city, I would think.
Well, I don't know. I'm just, maybe their standards aren't quite up to par yet, but
maybe Tsukizo and Contesta are just giving 30s to everyone.
I think they're just maybe feeling pretty good about themselves today, and they're just handing out 30s like candy. I don't know.
What we didn't see was literally everyone got a 30 except for Jesse.
Poor Jesse. Anyway. Okay, Janet and Chaz get their 30s. Congratulations. The last contestant of the day is the iconic Mademoiselle Jessica. And this is our girl, Jessie. And I was thinking to myself, I don't know why I was thinking this. I'm like, she's going to do so well. She doesn't really do so well, y'all.
We got a journey ahead of us with Jessie.
But then, yeah, I guess I thought to myself, I'm like, okay, that was silly of me to think that because everybody has to start somewhere. And of course, they're not going to start her off as being good at anything. So Unfortunately, she does way worse than we even anticipated. She calls out Seviper. And honestly, this got an actual genuine laugh out of me. I thought this was one of the best scenes of this anime series so far. Seviper's adorable. She calls it out, instructs it to use sacred fire. Why? I don't know.
It was in her book.
In her crazy book that she has, in her Prima game guide.
For all those people who bring in Ho-Ohs to the Pokemon contest.
It panics adorably, and it's like, burp, 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 burp. Can't do it. So she starts flipping through, and she's like, okay, what about some other moves like Dragon Claw or Psywave or Luster Purge?
Is that Latios and Latias's move?
I can't remember who is Luster Purge.
I think it is. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Are you looking it up?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, you were right. I don't know what's up with all these like legendary moves she's calling out. But I laughed pretty hard when Seviper started sweating a waterfall off of its head.
Oh, it's specifically Latios, not Latias. That's interesting.
Oh, okay. Anyway, poor Seviper. It can't figure out what to do. And so eventually, Jessie remembers that she's actually used Seviper in a battle before and that it has a move called Poison Tail. So she gets it to use Poison Tail, but Seviper doesn't know shit about shit and uses Poison Tail on her and slams her straight through the ceiling. So goodbye, Jessie. Everybody's pissed off and they're like booing and hissing in the crowd, and Mr. MC continues to be rude about that performance, which I will save because his quote is pretty iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of us will use it.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Jessie, terrible failure. But Janet and Chaz are pretty pleased with themselves because they, on the other hand, end up as finalists because of course they do. When the competition is complete garbage, I guess this is what we get. We also get the explanation of the final round of a contest, and that is the contest battle. Max kind of explains this a little bit, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's not so much just the moves, it's also how you defend yourself and how the attacks look and also damaging the opponent.
It is so much more interesting than regular battles.
It is.
Far and away more interesting. And also there's a time limit.
Yes, oh, that's the best part, is the fact that they have a certain set amount of time instead of just this long drawn out thing.
So there's all sorts of different strategies you can entail, like running down the points or staying in there until the timer runs out, etc., etc.
I love this. I love that they've expanded beyond the battling and we get something new and fresh. Also, I guess attacks are weighted differently. They're worth certain points. For example, Beautifly's Gust is worth more points than Venomoth's Stun Spore.
Well, I think in that instance, Venomoth used Stun Spore and it looked good, but then Beautifly countered with Gust. So because it was able to counter, lost more points because his hit did not land.
Ah, I see.
But she lost her points because it still, you know, looked good.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot to consider here.
I love contest battles. There's so much to talk about that we're rushing through, but we have a lot of contests to go.
I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see what we get out of that. I'm sure there's a lot I'm not remembering here, but let's look forward to that. Ultimately, though, Janet is our winner because she used a secret move, Morning Sun, to restore her health and give off a pretty dazzling display of sparkly sparkles. So she wins. Congratulations, Janet. She gets a nice pretty pink ribbon to put in her collection. Unfortunately, we are celebrating, but it's cut short because Team Rocket's back and they capture up Venomoth and Beautifly. Ash tries to jump in to save the day and have Pikachu use Iron Tail, but it's an absolute failure. Pikachu's not ready to use that move. So May unexpectedly jumps in and uses Torchic and blasts them off.
Well, May's found her purpose. So all of a sudden, look at that. Also, it was the moth and the butterfly that blasted them off. So all the coordinators are coming together. Sorry to actually you.
No, actually, thanks for correcting me. I forgot that Chaz and Janet jumped in there.
I love Chaz and Janet in that moment because as far as they know, it's a normal contest. Then suddenly people are attacking them on the stage and like assaulting them and stealing their Pokemon. And they're like, fuck you, attack them. Like they really got with the program really quick.
I mean, honestly, this is their fault anyway, because they're the ones that ran up to these kids in the first place and were like, hey, you want to learn Iron Tail and be in a contest?
They were weird. They were like way too aggressively nice with the twerps. notes.
God, what did I put in my notes here? I know I think I mentioned something like that. Oh, I said in true quest progression fashion.
Like, they were not human beings. They were robots come to advance the plot. It was very weird.
I know. It was like Arceus was like, okay, you too, go down there and help Ash explore his destiny.
And they were so boring. They had the most boring character designs I think I've ever seen.
I was kind of confused on their relationship because at some points I thought they had the same haircut. And I'm like, are you guys related? Because I know Brock has his moment where he's like, I love you so much, Janet. And like, Chaz doesn't say anything about this, but I'm like, are you guys like a thing?
And Beautifly attack Brock because someone needs to attack Brock.
Yeah.
And it's not working out without a designated ear puller, but we'll get there.
I'm surprised it wasn't Venomoth that attacked Brock, but I guess Janet and Chaz are not a thing. They're just friends.
What is their relationship? Who are these people? Who are you people? Where'd you come from?
They don't exist beyond this. They just popped into existence to help Ash and May, and they're going to leave as soon as they came. So, you know what it's like when you're in a game and you walk in close enough and stuff like renders up, it like pops up into your frame.
Very Pokemon Switch game, yes.
Very Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. But you know, as soon as the twerps walk away, far enough away from Rustboro Hall, all of this will just boop, pop out of existence. So
we've made that joke before. Like as I know. They walk, the land ceases to exist behind them.
Considering the fact that they don't go back to a lot of places, I mean.
That's what's so funny about these people. Is okay, she has 3 ribbons now, right?
Is that right?
And he has 2.
Sure.
Is that what it said? Am I right?
I did not pay close enough attention because I'm terrible.
I paid attention, but I can't remember.
One of us has to.
Okay, Janet now has 3, and Chaz has 1.
He has 1?
He has 1.
Fucking nerd. Okay.
And she won her 3rd with this one. So you'd think we'd see Janet again battling May in some
No, Austin. You forgot one of the cardinal rules of anime. If you're not drawn like a main character, you don't get to come back.
I know. She was boring with her banana-ass sweater she had going on.
God, she had the worst outfit, you guys. She had like this stupid, no shade to this kind of style of skirt, but it was like this A-line skirt. That looked like a school teacher skirt.
It way too high up. Not very fashionable.
Not fashionable at all. And then she has this like frumpy sweater on that's like the most sickly banana color you've ever seen. And then her hair is just like a mousy, limp, boring hair.
I will say though, they had fun drawing her boobs in her running animation. Did you notice that?
I did not.
Oh my God, I totally noticed it. It was very like jarring actually.
Was it like a Baywatch thing? What was happening?
It was like... Her right boob was thrusting out to one side, and she would like move her other arm forward, and her left boob would be thrusting
God,
out the other side.
God, when was she running like this? I can't.
When
I
they
don't
first
even know.
Ran up.
Oh,
I
when
swear
they
to God.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go back and watch it. Is this when they accosted them out of nowhere?
Yes, when they first appeared. Okay, we have to watch it. Do we have to look?
Okay, you know what? Fuck it. We're gonna look right now.
Okay. Meanwhile, I can't even fucking. At least we kind of remember what she looks like. I could not tell you what Jazz looked like.
He looks the same as her, but boring.
Amazing. He's not wearing banana colors.
All right, here I go. Oh my God. Okay.
I wasn't making that up.
Okay, another thing to just note about that scene and completely intentional that I've looked out for it. She has the boob swinging thing, and then immediately the next scene, the next frame is Brock having a fucking meltdown. So
he's a boob man.
He must be a boob man for sure, because her boobs were everywhere and he was enamored by that. Wow, I can't believe I never noticed that. God, I'm looking at her outfit again. God, her salmon ass skirt with her banana sweater. Ugh.
God, I didn't even notice Jazz has a mullet going on. Like, it's really bad. It's like,
don't they have the same hair?
Oh my God, they do have the same hair. It's like someone just took a pair of like those safety scissors from kindergarten and just like attacked them.
They literally copied and pasted her hair onto him. Like, it's the same hair.
Oh, it's horrible.
He's got a monochrome theme going on. He's got a green, like a hunter green sweater on with an orange undershirt, which, horrible. Those colors clash. And then he's got, like, a more of a sage green cargo pants on.
These are the most boring people in the world.
Okay, I think we've analyzed them too much.
Yeah, we put way more thought into them than anyone else did.
Goodbye. Okay. I don't think anybody in the history of this planet has talked about Chaz and Janet more than we had just talked about
them. No, we did not. Okay, but here's my point about their ribbons. She now has three ribbons. That means she only needs two more to get to the Grand Festival. Guess who's not at the Grand Festival?
Janet. Sure, Jan.
Janet really did a shit job after this contest, I'm just saying. Maybe it's because Tsukizo and Contessa were not giving out 30s to everyone the next time she tried. I don't know.
This was a one-time deal.
Yeah, well, three-time deal because she has three ribbons.
Well, maybe she did like that other kid, Egan, and like tripped and fell into a volcano or something.
We actually know she didn't because she continued to appear after that in silent cameos.
Janet?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That is very strange. Okay.
What else did I have to say about them? Oh, just a little error. Our judge guy says, when you get five ribbons, you're a top coordinator. That's not true. When you get five ribbons, you get entry into the Grand Festival. And then if you win that, you're a top coordinator.
Oh.
Just saying.
It feels very much like they haven't quite hammered out all the details yet.
No, they haven't.
Just conveniently forget about some of this early day stuff as we go through. But just know that it gets exponentially better. So just hang on to your hats.
Do you want to do MVP, LVP now?
Is there any other thoughts you want to say about contests? Or you want to
Okay,
just...
sure. First of all, fuck May and Max are being all in these people's business. And being like, we're going to come on stage with you. And then when Janet wins the ribbon, May's like, I want to see it. And he like takes it from her and holds it up.
I know.
What the hell was that?
I was pretty annoyed with her for that. I'm like... this is not your ribbon. You just... honestly, the fact that they could have, like, assistance was a little weird, but then again...
That never comes back.
That never happens again. I think it's what we just chalked it up to. This day, they were just having an off day.
This entire contest was fake and existed just to introduce May to the concept of contest.
Yes. I don't like the fact that they were actively involved in throwing the discus things to Beautifly to, like, hit and actually perform in the contest. I don't like that May had her grubby hands all over this ribbon. She doesn't even know this girl.
I don't like that the twerps were in the back with the coordinators and not in the stands of the audience.
Yes!
They should not have been back there.
They didn't have participant rights to go back in there. There was a lot of lax behavior on the part of the contest staff.
But contests are here!
Yay! I know, that really is the main thing.
We needed this. We needed the this was... I'm not going to say brilliant in relation to this show, because nothing's brilliant. But it was a very good call to be like, what are we going to do? Because Johto is not... fucking working. And someone had a very good idea of taking this contest minigame from the new upcoming games and expanding it into a full-length secondary badge quest like Ash is doing, gave it to the new character who's representative of these new games, and had her have her own essential badge quest happening along with Ash. So we always have something just around the corner happening, and we're always invested in collecting these tokens for our end of series tournament. Great idea.
I agree. Wholeheartedly agree. I think definitely this was needed. And honestly, doing the same Kanto and Johto thing all over again would have been staler than a dry cracker. And it would have been horrible. I'm glad that we don't have to see two battles every single time Ash has a battle. And we have the exact same thing with May. That would have been just horrendous and horrible viewing experience.
But we still doubled the amount of gym battles. It's just half of them are contests now.
Yay. Contests are objectively better. Maybe I pissed off some people saying that.
Yes, but... I agree with you.
It's more dynamic for sure.
And there's more people. It's not just Ash and the gym leader. There's people coming and going. Not Janet and Chaz. They are not a great example of interesting characters.
But we do get some interesting characters coming up. Yes, we will. I am so excited. All right, so stick with us for that. I think for now, though, we can move on to our MVP, LVP, and quotes.
All right, flip. I'm going first. My quote is going to be the Slugma that was outside Rustboro Hall.
Did it even say anything?
Yeah, it said McCargo.
Oh my god, wait. I missed that entirely.
I always try and catch when the Pokemon say the wrong names.
I did not catch that at all.
All right, that's my joke quote. I'm going to leave you the quote you want and use the quote from Brock. Yay. Is your mother a great artist? Because you're a work of art.
Oh my god, Brock.
Okay, that was creepy as shit. But that was creepy as shit. I still laughed.
I mean, honestly, that was kind of a jarring transition anyway, because he literally has, like, the one moment after her boobs are, like, flopping wildly everywhere. He's, like, in love with her. And then immediately that stops. Like, Beautifly kind of hits him in the head and then just sort of, like, that was it.
Good. My MVP is Chaz. No, I'm kidding.
Ugh.
Oh, man, who should my MVP be? My MVP is going to be Saviper.
Oh, deserved. Saviper was adorable.
An iconic Saviper scene. This is why we needed Saviper. It was great.
It's cute little noises.
Oh, you're such a good Saviper. My LVP is going to be Janet and Chaz, because what more is there even to say?
Nothing at all.
We talked about them extensively, more than they deserved.
Too much. My MVP is going to be... I'm thinking... I'm just going to give it to Tsukizo and Contesta and
Joy
for being the iconic contest judge trio that we will come to know and love. So,
oh, you included Nurse Joy in that as well?
She's a distant third in that trio, but, like, I love Tsukizo and Contesta, and they're here, so.
Yay. They had no lines. Hooray for them.
See, they're so good. They didn't even have to talk. They just had to show up. My LVP is going to be... I'm going to... give it to Jessie.
Fair.
Yeah, I think because despite her supposed background and knowledge of contests, and the fact that she's used Saviper in a battle before, that she couldn't pull anything together and she completely panicked and, like, shat the bed on this, like, was embarrassing as hell.
Also very in character for Jessie, though. For her be a dumbass and be like, oh, I'm in a contest. What are the best things to do in a contest? Well, the book says Sacred Fire. Obviously, we'll use Sacred Fire. Done.
Yeah. I should know better by now, right? I know, like, Jessie's a queen and we love her.
She's also an idiot.
She also is an idiot. I always hope for, like, better for her. I hope the best. And I'm like, this is going to be the one time. But inevitably, she cannot hack whatever she's doing. So she is an idiot. And she's got the curse, the Team Rocket curse. So.
But I am so excited.
Ooh.
For Jessie.
She has to have a personal growth moment.
Yeah, so. She has, like, the best arc of any character.
I know. So she gets really LVP funny. For now, but I'm absolutely certain that as we go forward, she will become more and more of our MVP. My quote, the iconic one that we had mentioned that we saved for this very moment, where the MC, after Jessie flies through the ceiling after her terrible display, he says, I apologize to all of you for having to witness that atrocious spectacle.
God, shame.
He's such
These
an
people
asshole.
Are horrible. I'm glad he got fired. I hated him.
Goodbye. Any final thoughts? I think we talked at length.
This episode deserved it.
We had to talk about it. A lot of stuff happened.
Mm-hmm. Now get ready for a really exciting Misty episode.
All right, then. Are we ready to jump in? I hope I'm ready. I'm not sure.
Okay, I'm going to time you for the Blue Badge of Courage. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, Chronicles, we're catching up with our old friend Misty at the gym. And Tracy's here because, unexpectedly, Oak has said, get the fuck out, Tracy. Go see Misty. Okay. Also, Sakura's here. If you remember her, the girl with the Espeon. Okay, we're all here together. Turns out we don't have any badges left, so we gotta go get some badges. So this crazy guy named Kenzo makes them work their asses off and then gives them their badges, and congratulations, Misty has her first challenger.
I'm just gonna dive right in.
Dive right in.
Yep, dive into this pool, unlike Psyduck.
LOL.
So, obviously, Psyduck still does not know how to swim, and it seems like he now has developed a fear of water, or at least chlorinated pool water.
Poor thing.
Or, I don't know, do you think it's salt water? Probably.
I mean, that's a hard question to answer, considering that we've got a variety of water types that live.
True. All Pokemon are able to get in fresh and salt water. I forgot.
Can we just say brackish? Can it be brackish?
Sure, brackish water.
Okay.
It's a mystery water, but Psyduck does not like it. At that moment, Tracy appears in the lobby of Cerulean Gym.
What the fuck?
It's like, hello? So Misty runs out, and okay. One of two things happened.
Oh, I know exactly what happened.
Well, the first thing I thought was, oh, that's so sweet of Professor Oak. He knows Misty is all on her own, managing this big facility with no experience. And so he sent her friend Tracy over to go check on her. And he was, like, doing it in a very casual way because he knew Tracy would be a good companion for her. And it worked out great. Isn't that wonderful? The second possibility, and Alex has been shaking her head at me this entire time, and now she's nodding enthusiastically with thumbs up, double thumbs up. The second possibility is Delia and Oak are going to Pound Town.
Yeah!
And their bedrooms smell of sweat and cum and all
ew,
sorts of
bodily fluids. Why did we have to take this? Did we mention this is an E for explicit
podcast? This is a 5-day fuck fest in Pallet Town.
Holy
Tracy, get the
crap.
Fuck out of here. Mimey has the camcorder in the corner. I don't know.
Mimey was watching.
Butch and Cassidy are liable to break in at any time.
Oh my god. Okay. Absolutely, Oak is not that selfless that he is going to send Tracy to be like, oh, help out Ash's old friend,
Misty. You don't think
Misty.
Professor Oak cares about Misty's well-being?
I don't think he gives a fuck
You don't
at
think
all.
Delia cares about Misty's well-being, and he's like, we should send Tracy over there. So A, we can fuck, and B, to make sure this poor girl is not going to die.
You know what? I'm going to say no for the express reason of, Tracy did not say that Delia sent me, because if this was a Delia thing, she would have sent fucking cookies over in a basket.
Good point. She'd be a whole bunch of baked goods.
Here's a care package. Hope you're doing well while you're there by yourself because your horrible sisters have abandoned you, child neglect, whatever. Here's a care package. Just checking in. Tracy would have said, Mrs. Ketchum wanted me to say hello, blah, blah. There was no mention of that. All he said was, Oak kicked me out and wanted me to come here. So that leads me to conclude the only possible explanation is that they were like, get out. We are horny for each other and we are going to have a romantic week together.
I know what it was. It was the love poem where Tauros rhymes with morose or whatever.
See?
Or chorus. And so Bulbasaur and Delia fought over who the love poem was for. And ultimately, Bulbasaur won and Professor Oak is having lots of sex with Bulbasaur. And they had to get Tracy the hell out of there.
Oh my god, stop with that.
Okay, so regardless, we're not gonna see Pallet Town because like this would not be a G-rated show if it was.
God, can I please, for our next fan fiction, I'm gonna write about how Professor Oak's love poem completely, I mean, they already like were a thing, but you know, that was the catalyst, right? She was so overcome, very Blanche Devereaux, spraying herself with water. Like, I can't take it. I'm so hot.
Delia is a rose. She is not a Blanche.
That is true. She is a rose. Okay. But she could not contain herself, and they finally had a free moment together, and this was just a convenient excuse for Oak to send Tracy out of the lab and be like, get out, because we have to screw on every single surface of this lab, and you cannot be here.
All right, so back in Cerulean City, where Misty and Tracy have, like, no sexual chemistry, Misty's immediately like, take off all your clothes and put on some swim trunks, because it's time to teach Psyduck how to swim, goddammit. And so we do, and it doesn't go very well. Psyduck is okay to float around in a little pool floaty, but he is not okay when you shove his face into the water.
You know what this is? This is exposure therapy gone wrong.
Oof, I have tried so many times to do exposure therapy with you, and you always resist it. We're going to go see that whale shark.
You know what? I was exactly thinking that. I'm like, this is giving Austin trying to force me to get over my fear of whale sharks, and it's never going to happen.
I'm not going to shove your face into the whale shark tank.
I would expire.
You would literally die.
I would.
Thankfully, Misty and Tracy are not left to their drowning Psyduck devices for too long, because another visitor has arrived, and it's Sakura? We never did decide on a pronunciation for her.
Sakura, the beautiful.
Sakura, the beautiful, and Sasuke, is really cool, are both here to complete our trio of twerps for the episode.
Oh my god.
Misty woke up this morning, and now she's the center of a twerp trio. Who would have thought?
Can I just say, I'm kind of feeling like a one-to-one with the Naruto crew. Like, we literally have Misty, who's, like, the orange and yellow, because she's kind of a reverse Naruto, right? And then we've got Sakura, the beautiful, is here with her pink hair, just like Sakura from Naruto, and Tracy, who is the black-haired one, like Sasuke.
Tracy, who is exactly like Sasuke in every way.
Who has gone into, like, a PTSD-induced, like, delirium and vows to kill his brother.
Because he saw Delia and Oak fucking in his bed.
Exactly, which would drive anybody to madness. And so then he goes to hang out with a guy who trains a lot of snake Pokemon. I don't know.
I'm really looking forward to the Tracy retrieval arc. What little Naruto knowledge I have. Oh my God.
Okay, who's the Kakashi in this outfit?
There's not a good one. Oh, Kenzo, duh.
God, no, Kenzo, well, I don't know. Okay, enough of that.
Okay, enough of that. Okay, we gotta move on. Okay, so Sakura's here, and Sakura has actually, it turns out, been collecting Johto gym badges. Oh my God. She got one from Chuck. She endured the fat shaming of Chuck. She endured Bugsy getting lost in a tree and having to move the ladder to free him. She endured Faulkner screaming at her at the top of his lungs. And she got gym badges from all of them.
I just have a couple questions that I'm sure that we don't really need to spend time on answering. It's just a personal thing. That's a weird trio of badges to have. Why? And now she's in Kanto?
Well, Chuck makes sense because psychic versus fighting.
Okay.
And then the other two are the first two gym badges, if we go by video game order.
Okay, remind me if you, I don't recall this, but maybe you remember, where in relation to, like, Chuck and Cianwood did we find Sakura? Like, where was she from again?
She's from Ecruteak City. She's one of the Kimono girls. But last we saw her, Ash and friends were heading eastward toward Price. And I can't remember if she went westward towards Jasmine and Chuck, or if she went south toward Whitney, Faulkner, Bugsy. I can't remember which way she went off the top of my head.
Well, at some point she went both ways. I guess either she must have lost or didn't challenge Jasmine because we don't have her badge. And then
Jasmine was too busy being the gym leader because Janina and her waxed Onyx were in charge.
That whole freaking infuriating arc of Jasmine not fulfilling her duties as a gym leader. So maybe that's why she couldn't get a badge out of her.
Okay, one of two things happened. Either Sakura encountered Wings Alexander and she was like, this is too dangerous. I can't keep on doing this. Or she tried to go to all the annual festivals and found out she had just missed them. So she was like, God, Johto's boring. There's nothing to do. Let me go to Kanto.
Well, she obviously gave the fuck up because she got three badges from Johto and was like, screw this. Kanto is way better. And so now she's in freaking Cerulean City.
What she realized, what she really wanted all along was not to go on a journey by herself with her Espeon. She wanted Misty. Misty is who she really wanted. That's who she always wanted to be with. And she's like, fuck this charade. I'm going to go to Cerulean City. Forget everything. And she says, well, I really need five more badges to be able to compete in League. So I came here to your gym, Misty. And I'm like, no, no, no. Everyone present knows that you need the eight badges from one region. You can't be mixing and matching. This is some bullshit. She's lying. And Misty should have called her out.
Sometimes, you know, you gotta go through some stuff to really realize what you want and where your heart lies. So, you know.
So Sakura demands that she get a gym badge because she wants to battle Misty now. Misty's like, okay, I guess. Let me go to where I keep my gym badges. So she looks around where the gym badges should be. There's nothing. So she's like, well, goddammit, Daisy, where'd you put them? So she has to call up Daisy on her trip around the world with Lily and Violet. God knows where they are. But Misty profusely apologizes for the inconvenience of calling them at a public payphone somewhere on a beach.
You know what? Oh my God. Sorry, you saying the public payphone on the beach reminded me of Digimon.
Oh boy. We need to watch that.
With the telephone booths. Oh my gosh. So weird.
You know, Daisy is like if Mimi was actually as horrible as they treat her.
Mimi is not horrible. I don't know what their problem with Mimi is.
But she's a girly girl, so we gotta treat her like shit in the 90s.
Exactly. Yeah, how dare she be a girly girl? Honestly, but that's not the problem with Daisy, Lily, and Violet.
Daisy's like, oh, well, we forgot to tell you. We don't have any gym badges, actually. So Misty's really lucky that no one has come to do a gym battle until Sakura showed up on her door, I guess. So Misty's like, oh, well, where's the order form? I need some badges. And Daisy's like, you silly girl. You need to go in person to visit Kenzo, the badge maker, like in the woods somewhere.
Silly Billy.
And here's the address. Okay, bye. Click.
You forgot the best part.
Which is?
The fact that they took a limo to the beach.
From their hotel?
You know what? That was unclear. I was assuming that they were on, like you said, some random payphone in the middle of the street, and they're like, gotta run, our limo is here. And I'm like, who takes a limo to the beach?
So not only do they have an all-expenses-paid trip around the world, they have a limo shuttle service as well. Are they paying for that?
Okay, my impression, again, I'm extrapolating a lot from the little that we get out of them, but they met some guys, quote-unquote, some guys.
Some limo drivers.
Yeah, maybe these guys are, like, wealthy, and they were like, hey, we'll send our limo driver to come pick you up and, like, hang out with us. Very White Lotus or something, I don't know.
I think that sounds very Taken. I think they're going to lose all their internal organs soon.
Well, they don't seem to really be bothered. They're just like, YOLO, we're just going to hang out with some guys and see what happens.
Nothing bad ever happened to a vacationing pretty girl.
No, never. Maybe they think there's like safety in numbers. You know, they're all there together. I don't know.
Maybe. Anyway, Misty is now tasked to go on an epic quest to get the gym badges. She has to go to, was it Rafor Village? I don't know. Somewhere.
Somewhere in the woods.
Somewhere in the backwoods of Kanto. So Misty first goes by the Pokemon Center and is like, here's the keys to the gym, Joy. Make sure Gyarados doesn't eat too much. He's on a diet. Okay, bye. So I guess she takes after her sisters after all.
Yeah, just foisting responsibility off onto some unwitting person that doesn't ask for this. Poor Joy. Her expression is like, you didn't call ahead. What? I'm completely unprepared. Like, who is going to watch the Pokemon Center when she's off doing Misty's chores?
Yeah, this is not Nurse Joy's job. She doesn't have to take care of the gym.
For the living in the Pokemon world, you would think there would be all sorts of, like, services catered to Pokemon sitting or specialized care.
She should have gotten those fanboy guys from the previous episode to come back.
No, they ran off after they had a near-death experience. Oh, no okay, way they'd true. Feed Gyarados.
No, they're still afraid of Gyarados, that's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, Misty is going to be joined by Sakura the Beautiful and Tracy, he's really cool. And they all head out on a quest to this village, and before they know it, they're there. And they find an old man who fell out of a tree when he was doing his tree jumping.
Very Naruto.
Very Naruto. Man, this is a Naruto-ass episode.
Right?
Wouldn't you know it, this old guy is actually Kenzo, and they have to carry him back to his house. When they find out his identity, Misty's like, oh, great. So can we have some badges? And Kenzo's like, absolutely not. It's not that easy. You need to work for those gym badges.
Is this like the only guy who requires this of people that want badges? Or is this like an every badge maker does this kind of trials and tribulations gauntlet thing?
How many gym badge makers are there in the Kanto region? Is this the one guy?
I thought, okay, maybe I'm just... Not that I don't appreciate small, self-employed, artisanal artists. I would have assumed it was kind of like the Pokeball Factory, where it was kind of just mass-produced.
Like, surely this guy's got to be sanctioned by the Pokemon League at least, right?
You're talking about Kanto's...
What was I thinking? What? Of course. Not in Kanto. Maybe in some of the other regions. He says, you got to work for these gym badges. And Misty and friends are like, okay. So he wakes them up at 4 in the morning, makes them run several miles uphill, up a mountain. They have to chop firewood. They have to, you know, put scalding hot metal into a kiln. They got to use some welding equipment. And they have to, like, make their own gym badges by hand. Mm. And he's like, well, those are shit. So you got to do it again. So the next day, we got to do it and all over again. And they put some polish on the badges. And he's like, okay, great. Go run up a mountain again. It's like a montage. And they put paint on the badges. And they look pretty good. But there's still one more step. We have to battle for Raligator.
This is such bullshit. After everything they've already done, and then you want to have this poor girl and her Corsola face off against a Feraligatr or whatever.
Missy's having to go through so many trials to do this gym battle thing. You know who didn't have to do that? Any of Rock's family.
Yeah, and who is overseeing all of this? Like, literally nobody else ever has to do this. I feel so bad for Misty.
So Misty's going to battle against Feraligatr. She's going to use Corsola, even though Corsola is a terrible battler.
It's awful.
And then Psyduck pops out of his ball, rolls down a hill, nearly drowns in the pond. And Kento's like, what the fuck is this? Get out of my area. Why have you been wasting my time, foolish children?
To be fair, the one time I'm going to come to Kenzo's defense, like if I saw a Psyduck, an aquatic creature, tumble down a hill in a helpless display of patheticness, fall into a pond, drown, nearly drown, have to be saved. I'd be like, this is fucking embarrassing. You need to really do some introspection and come back. Never. Because...
Okay, you're not wrong, but at this point, I'd be calling up Agent Joy and being like, Joy, I need your help. This guy isn't being... Hello? He's not getting his badges. Come investigate him.
Maybe this... You know what? Oh my gosh, did we consider the fact that Inspector Joy, after seeing Misty struggle in the previous time, like we saw her in the last Chronicles episode, put in a call to this guy and say, hey, maybe she took the fucking badges.
Maybe Kenzo's gonna rip off his mask and she's actually...
It's gonna be
her. Agent Joy. Again.
Oh, I think it's all her, honestly. I think she broke into the safe.
She was there without Misty for who knows how long.
Yeah, she put this whole thing together. I know we still have a little bit more of a twist to come, but...
That twist is coming right now. Because yeah. Kenzo screams out because, oh my god, there is been a robbery. There are gym battle thieves in the area.
The hell or, no, is
gym,
this?
There are gym badge thieves in the area, not gym battle thieves. That's odd, but okay.
Okay, I just have to raise the red flag here and wave it all around because there's a news network in Kanto, right? They have news. They have nightly news, surely. Is there not reports of, like, if this was a widespread thing that was happening, like Kenzo claims, like these prolific thieves are just going around stealing badges, would this not be reported on?
Maybe the thieves are actually both Agent Joy.
God, okay. Maybe Misty's like, maybe she's oblivious. Maybe she doesn't really tune in. She's got other things. Maybe, well, you know what? She doesn't have time because she has to run a whole gym by herself. So if there was, she wouldn't have seen it.
True. But this is basically a huge waste of time. These guys get caught, I guess, by Espeon psychicness. And they send out their Zigzagoon and their Poochyena. And Sakura sends out her Beautifly. Because I guess everyone in Kanto has Hoenn Pokemon now. Because Ruby and Sapphire just released a couple months ago.
You gotta sell that merchandise.
They do some battling. And wouldn't you know it, the Poochyena bites Psyduck on the head. And Psyduck uses its amazing psychic powers. Because it's very Season 1 vibes in that respect. So Kenzo sees all this and... He lets the gym badge thieves go without punishment.
I'm telling you.
There's something sketchy going on.
It was a ploy. It's why on earth would he let them go? Why would he not raise the alert with the authority? I mean, I know Officer Jenny is like useless, but he didn't say anything. He just was like, okay, you learned your lesson. Very Susan Collins of him anyway.
I would have thought for sure these were like his sons or grandsons or something. And this was like a secret test of Misty's character or something.
It is a secret test. I'm convinced.
But Kenzo is so impressed by the amazing psychic powers of Psyduck that he's like, okay, Misty, here's all the gym badges. You're free to go. So we all magically teleport back to Cerulean Gym, like in the next moment. Now we have to battle Sakura. Sakura versus Misty. And because Misty uses her Corsola, she loses pathetically, as she always does with Corsola.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a weird scene where I think Misty gave Sakura the gym badge she made, but Sakura gave Misty the gym badge she made. Okay, my pronouns were confusing there.
Okay, but so it's kind of like a friendship bracelet thing then. Like, I made you this, you made me that, we'll trade, whatever.
Yeah, but I thought for sure, here Sakura, why don't you take the gym badge that you made yourself? I don't know.
I mean, they're literally identical. Like, if you put them under a cup and, like, shook them up, you would not be able to tell.
True. They had no idea which one was which.
Unless they, like, marked it into the back or something, which, whatever.
Regardless, Sakura's gonna go now. She's actually gonna go with Tracy. Because Tracy and Sakura are now good friends, and they're gonna walk together to Pallet Town. So they can go find Delia and Oak and get some good ideas about Delia and Oak's personal grooming habits. Because they're going to find them, like, eagle spread on the kitchen island somewhere.
Sakura, apparently, is a giant Oak fangirl. Because who isn't? Am I right?
Is it possible that she, like, transferred her weird love for Misty to, like, Tracy for the day?
You think she's just got some kind of, like, attachment disorder or something?
We know she does, canonically. Because she's like, I can't go by myself. Oh, no.
That is true.
She's like, Tracy, where are you going? I'm going where you're going. Okay, Tracy, hello.
I guess Sakura, like I said before, she's still figuring herself out. And maybe there's like a secret something or other brewing. But no, honestly, I think she just has a crush on Oak. And she's like, I want to go see Professor Oak. But boy, is she going to be in for a surprise.
Mm-hmm. She's going to see more of Oak than she expected to see.
Oh, God. No. Okay, please move on.
Well, I guess we can move on because that's the end of the episode.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
That was quick. Already... Well, we spent forever on the contest episode. I kind of wanted to get through this. It's not a great episode at all. The previous Misty one was far better.
Definitely. I have to ask, though, two questions. One, do we ever see Sakura again?
No.
Never. Okay.
I think she went home. I think she's like, okay, I'm going back to Necrotique City. I can't handle this world.
Yeah. Honestly, her like badge progression and the stuff that we talked about, it seemed like she wasn't really cut out for it anyway. She was kind of all over the place. I think she had her fill. I think she's like, okay, I'm good.
I mean, she didn't even get 8 badges from Johto before giving up, so.
No, of course. I don't think she really had any intention of going on. I think she kind of saw all that she needed to see. My second question is, do we see Tracy again?
Of course.
Of course. Okay. Okay, actually, I have a third question.
Okay.
Do we see another Chronicles episode like this, a continuation of Misty's story, or is that it?
We get more.
Okay, there's more. Okay.
In fact, this episode introduced a running gag, actually.
Oh, a running gag. Oh, the Psyduck stuff, or?
Well, no, it was when Sakura sees Misty and Tracy together, all alone, and Tracy's like in his swim trunks. Sakura's like, oh, I didn't know you had a boyfriend, Misty. As her, like, her heart breaks into a million pieces. And Misty's like, oh, no, 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 no. It's not like that. Tracy was with me and Ash when we were on Orange Island.
Orange Island.
Orange Island.
Just the one.
Yep. And then she says, he's been assisting Professor Oak for the last few years.
I caught that. Oh, my gosh. Time reference.
Too bad they haven't aged in that entire time.
It's infuriating. Honestly, I don't want to give, like, any sort of attention to it because it doesn't make sense, but also every time they do mention the passage of time, I feel like we have to be like ding ding right there.
Well, anyway, this episode established, I guess more than anything else, the Misty Tracy connection. I think when we finish Chronicles, we're gonna revisit this and be like, okay, so what do you think about them as a pairing?
Okay, so the running gag that you mentioned specifically between her and Tracy, that continues, or is it just Misty plus any boy?
Misty plus Tracy.
So, oh, okay, them specifically.
Yes.
Huh, interesting. And not at all a couple that I would have paired together.
Well, I think at this point, they're kind of like the cast-offs. Literally, actually. It's like, we need Misty to interact with someone. Tracy.
It really makes as much sense of a pairing that Sakura and Sasuke made as a pair. Like, it literally...
Oh. But Misty's look. Naruto. That makes way more sense. Naruto and Sasuke.
Oh, wait! You're right! Oh my gosh, what am I saying? It was meant to be. I guess I never really, like, understood the Naruto-Hinata pairing either, but then again, please don't come at me, Naruto fans. I really don't.
We are joking, know. Oh my god. Naruto people, please, we are joking. I've never even seen Naruto for the most part.
I gave up after, like, I literally think I got to the Sasuke retrieval arc right before the start of, like, Shippuden. Or maybe, no, maybe I'm, like, way conflating, like, when things happen. But I gave up. I gave up because I'm like, this is way too complicated. And it started getting crazy. And you know me, I can't commit to one thing for any given amount of time. So it's a personal failing. Please don't come for me.
I think we got an April Fool's Day episode coming up in the future. I'm just saying.
Oh, God. Okay.
Anyway, MVP, LVP, end quote.
Gosh, who deserves it?
Let's flip the Dragonite coin. I dropped it. Okay. Let's flip the Dragonite coin.
Okay.
I dropped it. Okay, let's flip the again. Dragonite coin.
Jesus. Oh,
I dropped it. Let's...
Okay, are you, like, stuck in a time loop?
Tails. Alex goes first.
Gosh.
I escaped from the time loop.
Thank God. I thought maybe you were having an episode.
I kind of was.
When was medical intervention necessary? Okay. My MVP is going to be, I'm going to give it to Psyduck.
Oh.
I feel bad for Psyduck, and he's super cute. I think that they were being really unfair to him because instead of playing to his strengths and trying to be supportive, instead they were trying to force him into uncomfortable situations, a la exposure therapy, which, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's some, you can argue some merit to that. I don't know. I really don't want to psychoanalyze or anything.
But Misty and Tracy are not trained Pokemon psychologists. No. Like that one Nurse Joy who had like the greenhouse she put Chikorita in after she diagnosed Chikorita with jealousy.
Jealousy disorder.
Sorry. Throwback.
I'm not certain she was a licensed professional either.
No. Questionable. She had glasses, though, so she looked smart.
So she was qualified. I guess that's all you need in the Pokemon world. You just need some glasses and a clipboard, and you're good. But yeah, no, I think that Misty and Tracy went about it all wrong. They probably more deeply traumatized Psyduck than he was before. But he's cute. He's never harmed anybody. He just does his own thing. He's very well-meaning. Plus, he did, like, save the day against those two stupid buffoon guys.
Can I just say, I think there should have been a Chronicles episode about Psyduck learning to swim.
I mean,
that would have been a good capstone to Misty, I think.
Eventually, but I guess it's one of those Pokemon that's just, like, endearing and stuck in the way that it's always going to be. There was never going to be an arc of it being brave or...
I can't remember if it ever swims in later seasons. I honestly can't remember.
Remember the episode where she thought it evolved?
Classic. Orange Island was the best.
I know. Orange Island. Whoop whoop.
When we were with Tracy on the Orange Island.
The womanizing Golduck. Okay. Anyway, my LVP is going to be, I'll give you three guesses and the first two don't count.
Daisy, Lily, and Violet. Is it one of the three of them?
It's all of them together. Whoa! Because, whoa, I know, so shocking. They're horrible hags and I don't like them. They are terrible. I think I've discussed ad nauseum why I am not a fan of any of them. They just really need to have some kind of punishment for the way they treat their sister. It's child abuse. They are just awful. So hopefully, I will say, I don't wish harm on them though. Hopefully they don't end up getting like murdered, but we'll see. And my quote, okay, I actually have like a serious-ish one.
Okay.
I guess this is from Kenzo. I thought this was kind of poignant. When he is explaining to them originally that they have to actually work for the badges and that he's not just going to give them a free handout and it doesn't work like that. He says, those who want without effort will want for all eternity.
What if that's from something?
Other than like a fortune cookie or yeah, like some cheesy, like inspirational back of a book or something. I don't know. Like,
well, I'm also going to have a Kenzo quote.
Okay.
I think Jacob would appreciate this. It's when Kenzo said, no badges for you.
A Seinfeld reference.
No soup for you. I guess I'll give my LVP to Nurse Joy for having to watch the gym. She got forced into that without anyone asking her first. That's unfortunate. Well,
shouldn't it be Misty then? Because she's the one who gave her the job.
That's a good point. No, I want to give Misty MVP because she did that with confidence. She walked in there and she's like, here, Nurse Joy, here's the keys. Watch after Gyarados' diet. Okay, bye. So she gets my MVP for her unbridled confidence in pulling that move off.
Sure.
Sometimes if you tell people what to do, they're going to do it just because you told them to do it.
It's like in an emergency when you point at someone and you're like, you in the blue shirt, call 911. It forces people into action versus just yelling out into the abyss like, somebody call 911, because then nobody will. They'll all just stand there. But if you take charge of the situation and you tell somebody specifically and give them a specific order, they're far more likely to do it.
Well, don't worry. If we're in an emergency, you don't need to point at me and tell me to call 911 because I've already called 911. They're already on the line and I got them coming right now.
Sidebar. Austin has called 911 more than any other person that I know of.
I called 911 3 days ago again because my carbon monoxide siren was going off.
You had a good reason, okay? Austin's not like one of those people that call 911 because he's like, oh, my neighbor is out there walking their dog and blah, blah, blah. He's not one of those nosy people that just calls 911.
They say you gotta call 911. Oh my God, I hope no one's listening with like a smart device and is calling 911 right now. But
oh my God.
But they say you gotta call them if your thing goes off, so I did.
So the carbon monoxide device that you ended up getting as a result does say that on the inner flap. So yep. It says, call emergency services.
So now I have two carbon monoxide detectors, just in case. Because it's like, well, why was the first one going? It was going off for like the entire night.
Because you had a leak. There was a leak.
There was something. They didn't detect anything. The firemen.
Well, I don't think, you know what? Honestly, from the story, like no shade to the firemen in general, but like these particular guys seemed like they didn't give a shit, and they were like, whatever, if you die, it's not our problem.
Well, it's the second time I've called them to come because this detector went off, so...
Wait, is it the same guys? Is it the same dudes specifically?
I couldn't tell you. I could not tell you. Facial blindness.
Damn.
But I'm sure that's in, like, you know, my file or whatever. Like, this is the second time.
They probably recognized you.
And they probably have the list of all the other times I called 911 over some... Oh my god. Imagine scenario.
Oh my god. Okay, I'm so getting off on a tangent. I'm so sorry. This is it, and I'm gonna rein it in.
Okay.
Remember back in school when they used to, like, threaten kids, and they were like, if you fuck up, this is going on your permanent record. And yeah. Everybody was terrified of, like, the nebulous permanent record.
Oh, my permanent record had some stuff on it.
This is a permanent record, though. They definitely keep you on file about 911 calls, yeah. I'm sure.
How many times did you get ISS in school?
I got in school suspension once.
Okay, I think I got it twice.
Because I was tardy once by accident.
Oh, well, that's not your fault.
I know. Well, you know those bullshit, horrific rules that they had?
Why would you punish a child for being tardy to school?
I think it was during the phase in high school where I just started driving, so it wasn't,
you were
like,
old enough. Okay, that makes sense. Got it.
I think I was late. But see, that's the thing that gets me, because I think I was just after the first bell. Like, literally nothing had, like, started yet. And I was walking in the hallway to class, because where else am I supposed to go?
Yep.
And, you know, the hall monitor person was, like, walking, and they're like, what are you doing? And you're late. And I'm like, okay. So they gave me, like, a tardy slip and then made me have whatever. It's bullshit.
I will say, I thought you were going to say, when you were a child, they always say, don't call 911 unless it's actually an emergency. And so, like, as a kid, I was, like, afraid to accidentally misdial.
Yeah.
And so that carried on until I was an adult. And then, like, a few years ago, I had to call 911. And ever since, like, the seal was broken, that's just my favorite number to call.
The one time I accidentally called 911, I didn't even know I was calling 911 because my phone accidentally got smashed in my cup holder and it was holding down the buttons.
Oh my god. Phones are so easily directed to an emergency number. If you, like, look at them the wrong way, they'll be like, calling 911 now.
And it, yeah, exactly. It was counting down. I heard this. I had the radio on, right? So I had no idea this was happening. It started counting down. And I was like, what is that horrible noise? And I thought maybe it was, like, some sort of outside siren or something. So I was, like, rolling down the windows trying to figure it out. Then I realized, oh, shit, it's my phone. It's coming from this car. And it was dialing 911. And then it started ringing. And I was like, shit. So I, like, grabbed my phone and hung up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? They called me back.
Oh, no.
I know. I was... Guys, my heart was beating out of my throat. It was horrible. I was, like, sweating. I was like, I answered it and I was like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. It was an accident. It was a butt dial. And then they're like, okay, bye.
Yeah, they don't care.
And I was like, wait, what if I was, like, in distress? What if the murderer had, like, a knife to my throat?
The killer.
And they were like, yeah, they took me at my word. They didn't even ask me any questions or anything. They just were like, okay, have a good day, whatever, bye. If I was really in a dangerous situation, I would have been completely screwed, but...
All right, okay, anyway, next
that
week...
That was way off topic, sorry.
Okay, anyway, next week. Not actually next week, because Alex, yes. You have an announcement to make?
I do. Oh, God, yes, thank you. Since my moving is coming up, it's putting all of our schedules into flux. So I believe, I'm going to say, at least for the next 2 weeks, we will be taking a brief hiatus while we get situated and sorted and I get settled into my new place. Please just stay tuned for our return. It shouldn't be long, but keep an eye on social media. Austin and I will be posting some stuff over there to let you know when we will be back.
Or at least I will.
Yeah. Keep to Blue Sky more than Instagram, because Austin will post updates on Blue Sky. So just stay tuned. We will be back with our regularly scheduled programming soon.
Shouldn't be long.
Nope.
But when we do come back, the episodes we will be covering are... Advanced episode All in a Day's Wurmple and Chronicles episode of Meowth and Pokemon.
Okay.
That second one is not interesting. Don't say interesting.
Oh, I said interesting already.
Yeah, there you go. It's your favorite word.
That is my favorite word. I say interesting a lot.
It's very interesting. Alright, see y'all next week. Or not. See you all when we see ya.
Thank you guys for listening. As always, we appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always do that on our social media. Like I mentioned, follow us over on Blue Sky @OutOfTheDryingPan. Again, at Out of the Drying Pan. We also have the Instagram, same handle, at Out of the Drying Pan. Or you could always email us, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, so send us your feedback. We also have a Patreon. If you like this podcast, if you like what we do, we would super appreciate your support. So please consider checking us out over there. We have all kinds of cool bonus content that you can partake in. And as always, once again, thank you guys so much for listening. And we will see you in a couple weeks as the journey continues.